the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Best of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers your Arizona Cardinals. And recording on a Saturday afternoon, so we'll get this up. We'll get this published fairly quickly so that it is Saturday afternoon when you can listen to it about 24 hours before the game. Is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. This episode 630, it's our preview, picks and predictions and props, of course, was the Cardinals play the San Francisco 49ers in the season finale. Neither team has anything to play for other than pride. The Cardinals are banged up. The 49ers are banged up. This game's going to be ugly, isn't it?
Nothing like the Josh Dobbs revenge game to get your juices flowing.
Ooh, and with that, banged up Kelvin Beachum starting a left tackle. Jackson Barton got hurt in practice this week, so it looks like it's the fifth round pick rookie Christian Jones going to start at right tackle. So you're going to see Christian two rookies on the right side of the offensive line. Please don't kill Kyler. The last thing we need is that an injury in the season finale. That is long term. So let's not do that. Not that I want to see Clayton Tune either, but I do not want to see Clayton Tune playing. No.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's tough because there are some bangers this weekend that matter, right? And so it's just gonna be
this game was supposed to matter. That's right. The thing. That's the thing that about this game that's the difficult part about how the season ended is that the way they were playing, it set up that this game was going to matter, and it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Cardinals are locked into third place. The Niners are locked into last place. It matters for draft order, kind of.
But we talked about that last week. I mean, it's a negligible fall from
right. It's like between 11 and 17.
But can they technically be I guess they would be 11 because
if they lost and all the teams in front of them won.
Yeah, because I guess the 49ers, they would have the same record as the 49ers, and the 49ers would have the strength of schedule. So yeah, I guess they could get to, but I mean, that would mean that the Colts would need to win. That would mean the Cowboys would need to win, you know, and so the Colts are playing the Jaguars, so that's a dumpster fire in its own right.
That's another garbage game.
and the Cowboys are playing a game that matters because Washington is still fighting for playoff seeding.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, those are all, like, that's the thing. So it's like, I get it. You're thinking to yourself, like, oh, you gotta finish up and win this. And it's like, look, yeah, 17 is not as good as 11, but at the same time, like, you take care of business and let the chips fall where they may, and you do a good job scouting, it shouldn't make a difference, right? You know, even this year, you look at it, they didn't get the best rookie wide receiver on paper, but it, you know, they got an impactful player. And so, you know, it doesn't, I mean, picking. That shouldn't be the thought unless you're a team like New England, right? Like, New England's got to look at this and go, is winning this game really worth not controlling? Because they're not going to pick first. Everybody kind of knows that, right? But all of a sudden, you have control over Tennessee, Cleveland, and New York, and you go, all right, you know, highest bidder type of stuff.
And
I mean, I even saw one today. It was like, would you, if you're New England, would you trade the number one pick for obviously three or four, wherever the Titans would, or two, I guess it would technically be two, a second this year, a first next year, and Calvin Ridley? And you're like, if you're New England, you're like, damn, that's a, like, just to move back from one to two and you still get Travis Hunter, Like, you're like, I'll do that. I would do that, right, in a heartbeat, right?
Yes, so, yes.
And so that's the hard, like you said, that's the hard part. So, you know, it's just one of those situations where you look at it and you kind of follow it. And, you know, when you're picking outside of that, really that top position, it's negligible difference. Like, you have to navigate the draft well, and you just have to pick well, and that's what the Cardinals will be forced to do. And I think you and I are on the same page. Winning this game, beating a rival, going 2-0 against a rival, a team that on paper was superior from the jump, right? And then not losing to Josh Dobbs.
You can't lose to Josh Dobbs.
And you look at the names, right? It's mock draft season, obviously, but you look at the names, right? Jaylon Walker, James Pierce, Kenneth Grant, Nick Skorton. Those are all impactful front four players, one interior defensive lineman type, three edge rushers. They go from 12 to 16. Like, they, if those guys are all, and you just get the best one that falls, guess what? Everybody's happy, right? Like, nobody complains. So that's how you have to look at it. And that's, I think, the way you and I are looking at it is like, you got to finish on a high note. It's more important to not go 1-6 than it is to draft 11. To me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the 49ers, let's look at the 49ers over the last several weeks. You know, the Cardinals last played them in week 5, beat them 24-23 on that Chad Ryland field goal in his debut with the team, dropping them to 2-3 at that point. Since then, things have kind of fallen apart. In fact, the Niners they're in the same situation as the Cardinals. They've gone 1-6 in their last 7 games, 2-6 since their bye week. They had a nice win over Tampa Bay. And then after that, their only win is over the dreadful, dreadful Chicago Bears. And their offense aside, their offense has been really, really bad. So they've got the 38-point output against the Bears. They scored 34 against the Lions last week. But other than that, 17, 10, 10, 6, and 17 against the Seahawks, Packers, Bills, Rams, and Dolphins. Again, now, if you're looking at that schedule, those are some tough teams. It's Seattle, who is in the mix, Green Bay going to the playoffs, Buffalo going to the playoffs, Rams going to the playoffs, Miami maybe goes to the playoffs. They're still in it. And then you look at their defense, 38 to the Packers, 35 to the Bills, 29 to the Dolphins, and 40 to the Lions. This is a team that is struggling on both sides of the ball. And for a number of reasons, they've been hit so bad by injuries on offense. Like, they're not going to have Brock Purdy. They are down 2 running backs in Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason. They're down their left tackle, Trent Williams. I believe we're going to be seeing Charlie Heck starting at left tackle for the 49ers. Well,
this is a 5-sack game type of thing is what you're trying to say.
No, and guess what? 1 sack by Zaven Collins alone earn him $300,000 because he'd get to 5 on the year. So, yeah, the Cardinals need to do that. But then on the other side, like, Nick Bosa's expected to play. With the length of their injury report of the players who are out, I guess they need him. But yeah, that defense has struggled. They've got talent. Like, we know they've got talent, but it hasn't been looking good. And, you know, which for me, that gives me some optimism that the Cardinals offensively, as long as they can block okay. Because the Cardinals did play really well offensively in terms of moving the ball against the Rams. If they can move the ball, they just got to finish those drives. They just got to finish those drives and put points on the board, and they should be able to do that. But Isaac Garendo looks pretty good as a running back. George Kittle always looks good. And Ricky Pearsall, like, there's some names to watch. Juwan Jennings needs 77 yards to hit 1,000 for the season. Ricky Pearsall's finishing the season really, really well. But and Brock Purdy, who has been much more Jimmy Garoppolo-like this season, we don't even going to see him. It's going to be Josh Dobbs. And Cardinals fans, y'all know what you get from Josh Dobbs. And Seth and I joked about this, I think, earlier in the week. There's only one thing you have to make sure you do with Josh Dobbs. You got to make him pass the ball. You don't let him extend plays. He's only dangerous when he is improvising, and that's about it.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where you look at what Dobbs has done, you know, in his very, very limited time this season. And you mentioned it. It's, you know, he's dangerous with the ball in his hands and in kind of garbage time. And I don't mean to make that sound negative, right? But the Lions were up 2 scores. He comes in for a weird injury, right? Did you see John Lynch's comments on it? Did you feel like that was kind of a shot at Purdy a little bit? I don't know. It was a weird one. It was, you know, he was like, it's basically, you know, like you hit your funny bone. And I was like, oh, that's kind of putting a little tame, you know, don't you think? Like,
I'm like really, that's funny bone, but you're keeping him out in the season finale. And he didn't practice all week. So it was a funny bone, but.
Right. So, you know, it's one of those situations where.
An elbow stinger.
Right. And so you look at last year, right? Dobbs won 3 games, 2 with the Vikings, 1 with the Cardinals. His numbers were virtually identical. Virtually. I mean, it's wild. In 8 games with the Cardinals, man, this guy had 1,569 yards. So, you know, almost 200 yards a game. In 5 games, 4 starts with the Vikings, he had 895 yards passing, so just under 200 yards per game. For the Vikings, he threw 5 touchdowns. For the Cardinals, he threw 5 touchdowns. For the Vikings, he threw 5 interceptions. For the Cardinals, he threw 5 interceptions. Like, he's virtually the same guy. You know, and like you said, his big plays come with his ability to scramble around, make guys miss, and make plays with his legs and then his arm. You know, for being a genius, he's not overly intelligent with the football. So we'll see how that goes. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. But this is a game that the Cardinals, you know, need to win just from an optics standpoint, more than anything else. And they should, you know, they should win this game. It's an interesting line. I mean, I know we'll get to this, but the Cardinals 4.5, doesn't speak highly of them, but, you know, Jess mentioned it a little bit in the open, right? Like, you're going to have Isaiah Adams, who's been average to bad, and Christian Jones on the right side. Obviously Kelvin Beachum will be on the left side, and you know, Kelvin is.
We're gonna have Michael Carter starting and running back,
right? And so it's just a mismatch of stuff, and you know, this was what critics always warned about with the 17 game season, right? Like, you're not gonna get the best players available to play 17 games, and this is
especially in this type of game.
Right, where there's not a whole, there's pride you're playing for, and that's about it.
Yeah, so let's move on to the keys part. We kind of bled into that. So coming up next on the Rise of Receiver podcast, Best of Cardinals talking about what are the keys to this game? What are the matchups we're looking at? That's coming up next on Rise of Receiver. We're back on the Rise of Receiver podcast, Best of Cardinals talk on the web, talking Cardinals 49ers, looking at the matchups and the keys to this game. Shoot, I guess number one is please protect Kyler. Now, I will say this, the 49ers, their run defense has been bad. That's been bad. They're middle of the pack in basically every metric. 17th in yards allowed, 14th in rushes per attempt. But they've given up 22 rushing touchdowns. They're 31st in the league in that. And if you look at in their last seven games, in their one win, it was against the Bears. They allowed 68 yards. But the other six, it is 94 to the Seahawks, 169 to Green Bay, 220 to the Bills, 142 to the Rams, 166 to the Dolphins, and 152 to the Lions. Now, the Cardinals, essentially without James Conner last week, ran the ball well. Michael Carter had 70 yards. They ended up rushing for 113, which is on the low end for the Cardinals this season. But yeah, they should be able to. So between what I imagine is going to be Michael Carter and Tony Jones Jr., unless DJ Dallas moves into that number two role, because Tony Jones could play the third down or could be the number two. I'm not sure how that will play out. And you know, honestly, you know who else we might see in the run game a little bit? Greg Dortch.
Yeah, they've utilized him in kind of different ways, and it's been interesting to watch. You know, this is a game where I mentioned it and kind of joked about it, but you know, they need to have a good pass rush game. You know, you mentioned it, Charlie Heck starting at left tackle. They've been on the flip side of what you broke down, right? You know, 94 rush yards against the Seahawks in that loss, or you know, gave up 94. They rushed for 131. But then the next week against the Green Bay Packers, where they were blown out, I mean not close, 38-10, they ran for 44 yards. Against the Bills, they ran for 153 yards, but they threw for 86. So like all of a sudden, this is not a balanced offense. We've seen one balanced performance, and that was the Bears win. But the last three games, all losses, and even competitive, you know, to an extent, losses, 63 yards rushing against the Rams, 81 yards rushing against the Dolphins, 75 yards rushing against the Lions, right? This is a team, much like the Cardinals, just in a different way that they go about it, that relies on that run game to open up the passing game. So yeah, they're putting up passing numbers. I mean, we've seen some gaudy statistical passing numbers, but it's not efficient. And then the other thing in that 1-6 stretch, Jess, and I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but they forced two turnovers.
Yes. And they've been giving the ball up
a lot. In those seven games, they've got 13 turnovers, basically turn the ball over twice a game.
They're minus 11 in their last seven games.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the one against the Bears didn't even, I mean, again, it's a turnover, it's good, but they were plus zero because they turned the ball over once against the Bears. So like they haven't won the turnover battle since they beat the Cowboys and got to 4-4 on October 27th when they turned the Cowboys over twice and then turned the ball over once. Like,
and this, that turning the ball over has been a problem for the Cardinals because they're minus six in their last six games.
So it's just one of those situations that you look at, you know, that'll be one thing. We think that they can have some success rushing, rushing Josh Dobbs. You know, they're not running the ball nearly as well as they normally do. And then you broke it down. They don't stop the run well. But they're not getting after the passer either, Jess. You know, Kyle Posey is one of my good buddies in real life, but he covers the 49ers for Niners Nation, the SB Nation site. And you know, he and I just chat about ball all the time. And that's one of the conversations that we've been having quite a bit. The loss of Javon Hargrave was so much more than they expected. And that's part of the problem when you give a 30-year-old, because they just brought him on last year, for those that don't remember, that's part of the problem when you give a 30-year-old, I don't know, what was it, $900 million, whatever it was, you know, you give a great, great interior pass rusher that's up there in age. And you got to remember, too, like, Hargrave was coming off a 21 season where the Eagles, I think they made the playoffs that year, if I remember right. You know, they were a good football team that year. I'm double checking my notes. No, they did not make the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They lost in the wild card round. Sorry. They lost in the wild card round that year. Then 22, obviously, you know, they lose in the Super Bowl. And then he goes to the 49ers. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, the 49ers lost in the Super Bowl last year. So, like, yes. this is a guy that played 18 games. 20 games, 21 games, and then 21 games again. Like, it's a lot. And we talk about these big guys, and I know Hargrave is, you know, the undersized at 6'2", 305, right? Undersized interior defensive lineman. But that's the risk you take when you get that, when you make that. And he's, you know, he's still eighth on the team in sacks this year. You know, Malik Collins has been fine as his replacement.
And the problem for them pass rushing is that Nick Bosa hasn't been great.
Well, and that's because they don't have to, like, they'll give up a half a sack a game to Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins. They're not going to let Nick Bosa get two sacks a game.
Yeah, and Nick Bosa has 9 sacks this year, and that's after having half and 15 and a half
last year, something crazy like
it was. It was 10 and a half last year. It was 18 and a half when he was defensive player of the year in 22. But he's become, like, he's good, but he hasn't been a difference maker this year.
Well, but that's the thing, is he's truly the only difference maker on that line now. Their secondary is surprisingly good. Would you not agree with that? Like, they're doing. Yes. They do.
Travarius Ward is not playing as well as he did, but D'Amador Lenore has really stepped up. They signed him to a contract extension, and Renardo Green is a Kyle Madsen over at Niners Nation, not Niners Nation, but Niners Wire. He told me, like, in the preview, enemy lines, it says Renardo Green's the best cornerback, that best rookie cornerback they've had since Shanahan got here.
Well, and is, I haven't looked, I'm not going to lie, because it's just been kind of hard to even follow. Is Ward playing this week even?
I didn't see him on the injury report.
Because he didn't play last weekend, so I don't know. I didn't know if they put him on the IR already. I don't. Because, again, like you kind of mentioned, these games are really hard to follow. But you're talking about, you know, to your point on Ward, he's only played in 11 games this year. Last year, he was an all-pro. And so to get a regression from all-pro to a guy that they can't keep on the field consistently because he's struggling, you know, as good as Renardo Green and Lenore have been, that's how bad it's been for Ward. And then the other guy that's struggled this year, when I talked to Kyle, was the guy that they wanted to fight, James Conner. What was his name? I'm escaping me now. Talanoa Hufanga.
Hufanga. He hasn't been as
good this year. Yeah, he just looks kind of slow now.
In fairness, Fred Warner is looking
human,
older.
Yeah,
yeah. He's still great, but he doesn't look like the best linebacker in the NFL.
But again, that goes back to what, you know, we talked about a little bit earlier. Like, you go, you know, in 2022, you look at the run Fred Warner had, right, from 2020 until last year, where he was clearly the best inside linebacker in the NFL. You know, he plays 20.
He's still been really, really good this year, by the way.
Right, right. Yeah, we're picking nits here, right? You know, but you look from his 2020 season, you know, 16 games, and then 2021, the first 17-game season, they make it to the conference championship. And so 20, you know, he plays in 20 games. Then the next year they make it to the conference championship, he plays in 20 games. Then the next year, obviously, they make it to the Super Bowl, he plays in 20 games. Like, I was talking to Kyle about it, and I'm like, you know, I wonder how much we discount linebackers being kind of the running backs of the defense, right? Like, their lifespan, just because of, especially the way Fred plays, right? He is just such a freak of nature, athletically, physically, that he's just all over the place consistently, that he, you know, you have it's not shocking, right, to see him have a down year. And by the way, he's still one of the 5 to 7 best linebackers in the NFL in a down year, as opposed to the problem was he was literally just so much, so far superior to everybody else that now you're like, oh, he's human. And then that's also tough to watch, even as a fan, right?
Yeah, well, like, it's wild because if you look statistically, he's no worse. It's just, it's not in the stats. It's like, it's when you see on the field, his impact has diminished just a little bit. And that's impacted by the fact he hasn't had Drake Greenlaw most of the year. Devondre Campbell didn't play that well.
And then we mentioned the front, like he's not being kept clean like he normally has been.
Like, and Greenlaw's out again, like Greenlaw's on IR again. And Campbell is banished.
Right. He's in the shadow realm at this point.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's difficult. It's not fun to watch because as much as a pain in the ass and thorn in the side as Warner has been, he was still great. And like you enjoy watching greatness, right?
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, so that's the thing, is there's matchups on both sides of the ball that you look at and you go, the Cardinals can take advantage of. I mean, we mentioned the strength is going to be, you know, Lenore Green against guys like Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, you know, Greg Dortch. While Warner is down, he's still very good in passing game. The difference being now, he's not making plays on the ball as consistently as he was. So instead of it being a pass breakup or an interception, he's just making a tackle immediately, right? Like, he's not getting burned by any means. He's just giving up catches that in years past were like, oh, look at the play he just made again, right? And so those are some things to watch. And then, I mean, you mentioned it. They should be able to run the ball. I don't care if it's James Conner is not in. Like, they should be able to run the ball. And then on the flip side, they've got to create havoc for Dobbs. He's prone. I know he's only played 5 snaps. This guy wants to throw interceptions. That's what he does.
Yes, you know, the Cardinals are really bad about taking the ball away, but well, pressure. Yeah. Like, Zaven Collins has $300,000 on the line. So let's get Zaven 1 sack at least. He gets $300,000 for 5 sacks. It would set a career high for him. That would be fantastic. But they need to get sacks with the state of the offensive line for the 49ers. They need to get sacks. This should be a 4 to 6 sack game by the team, don't you think?
Yeah, unless the Niners are just running the ball at will. Yeah, you would assume that this is a game where they're going to be able to do some things that we, you know, haven't seen them do as well consistently. And that's one of the conversations we'll have all offseason, but, you know, that they haven't done as well consistently.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk. Let's move on to the final segment of the show where we make our picks, predictions, and talk about some prop bets. It's coming up next on Rise Up Series Red. Back on the Rise Up Series podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the web. Time to make our predictions for this game. This one's really hard, but ultimately, the Cardinals better be able to beat this team. They should, even with the tackle situation, they should be able to move the ball. And they shouldn't give up a ton of points against this 49ers team. I just wrote my prediction for Niners Wire, and I said Cardinals 27, 49ers 19.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man. I mean, you look at the line 4.5. We talked about that. That doesn't speak incredibly highly of the Cardinals, right?
No.
With the way this game is coming in. And then the over under 42.5. The Cardinals, again, should win this game. When you look at it, I just don't know how it plays out. I think the Cardinals do win, but I'm going to go 21-14 Cardinals.
Ew, win, so. Ugly yeah. Game. Here's what and BetMGM at least, only 55% of the handle is on the Cardinals to win. Now, I will say this. When you're talking about betting trends in the 49ers, the 49ers are considered a national team. They're a high-action team. They're very popular. They get a lot of action every week and every year. And so their numbers are always skewed a little because the public bets. Not just the smart bettors, but the public bets the 49ers. But 55%, only 55% of the money line bets are on the Cardinals, while 60% of the spread are on the Niners. And BetMGM doesn't have any numbers on the total, which is interesting.
I think this is a hard one for a lot of the books because of all the injuries, right? Like all the unknowns. Yeah. You and I were talking about it. There's very little to pick from this week, but we'll give you some of the ones that are available that we like.
Pick and choose the sports book that has the best price here. That again, neither FanDuel nor BetMGM are paying us, though. If you're listening, if one of you wants to pay us,
we're always open to it.
We're always open to it. So we'll look at both. But yeah, so it looks like we both like the Cardinals to win and to cover. I have them hitting the over, while Seth has them hitting the under. Kyle Madsen over at Niners Wire believes it'll be a blowout. Cardinals 38, 49ers 18. That'll be fun. I would love to see that because that Jess means a good game for Kyler. That'd be great.
All about that. We'd be 100% about that. That would be 56, so over 55.5 would be plus 470. If you plus 470. So even if you didn't go up that high, even if you said 50.5, that's plus 250. So $100 gets you $250. So $10 gets you 25, right? Like you bet $10 on that, you get 25 back, you got lunch for the week, right? Like that's what we look at here. If you really think that the Cardinals, I mean, again, 19.5 is plus 680. I would never do that. But if you're thinking, oh, the Cardinals by 2 plus touchdowns, minus 13.5 plus 300. So, you know, again, yeah. you bet 10 on each of those from Kyle. You go a little lower than what he's saying. $20 getting you $55. Like now you're golden for all of January for your coffee.
and if you like Seth's prediction, winning by a touchdown, even minus 6.5, that's plus 115. That's a really good on the alternate spread. That's not too bad at all. And in 27-19. So if I push that up to 7.5, at minus 7.5, you can get plus 145 on BetMGM. On the total, though, like if you want to go with Seth's, well, he's going low, 21-14. You can hit, if you want to just keep it a little conservative, under 40 is plus 125. While if you like mine and you go over 45 is plus 120. So if you want to play with the alternate lines and alternate totals a little bit, that you can do that and find better value.
And by the way, when we start having these alternate discussions, that tells you how much is available from the books right now on prop bets, because there's just not much. And so, you know, we're giving you some alternatives, not just spreads and points, but alternative options if you want to try to make some money in this game. Because right now, you know, and we're recording late on a Saturday, 2 p.m. on a Saturday. You know, and I'm on FanDuel literally as we speak. Their player props are Kyler Murray and Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison. So they don't even have touchdown props. They don't have any rushing props. So those are, you know, so we're a little limited, but we are going to go through what we have access to.
Yes. And BetMGM has a few more right now. Here's some anytime touchdowns. What's wild about this is that there's plus ons on everyone this time, which we haven't seen in a little bit for the Cardinals. This one is not worth a lot, but at plus 110, here's something to note in terms of incentives. If Kyler Murray rushes for 50 yards and adds a touchdown and rushes for a touchdown, he will hit a $750,000 salary escalator for next season. Well, and for the seasons to go. He's at 550 and 5. So if he hits 600 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns, which, by the way, he did in San Francisco, in Santa Clara, that is, when he had that 45-yard touchdown run. And so, you know, if you can get plus 110 on Kyler scoring. Though the one I like that, you know, and that's simply because of Josh Dobbs, and we saw a little connection there. You can get Juwan Jennings anytime touchdown at plus 150. And that might be my favorite easy one for the anytime touchdowns. I don't know. They still have Amari DeMarcado. Okay. Amari DeMarcado getting odds on anytime touchdown is stupid. He's on injured reserve, BetMGM. And you know what you can't get? Michael Carter.
Yeah, interesting. If they have, I mean, there could be a skew thing where I know some websites offer not to score touchdowns, so go hammer that for Amari DeMarcado.
There is a no touchdown prop for plus 8,000. Yeah. But no, they'll score touchdowns because neither one of these defenses are good.
Yeah,
but I like Juwan Jennings plus 150. And actually, here's one that'll make you money: Josh Dobbs plus 350.
Yeah, I like that as well. One of the ones that's available right now on FanDuel that I do like and that I would take anyways is the Trey McBride longest reception over 20.5. I talked about Fred Warner and Renardo Green, but there are avenues in which they can manipulate things and get McBride matched up on a more favorable matchup. I think they're going to be able to do that in this game. McBride over 20.5, so 21-yard reception, gets you that money. And it's almost even money. It's minus 102, so it's pretty good. And that's bet. Better.
They have got McBride on the same number for longest reception, but it's minus 125. So minus 102, better value on FanDuel there.
What do you think of Harrison Jr.'s over 4.5 total receptions? I go back and forth because I don't think that he's going to get there because it would be such a massive game. But I do think that there's going to be a concerted effort to see how close they can get him to 1,000 yards on the season.
We're talking
about something that doesn't, in the scheme of things, doesn't matter. And if you come in and you finish with 1,000-yard rusher and 2 1,000-yard receivers, you look at it, and even though there are some statistical issues that, or some, you know, actual issues that we would agree need to be rectified, it does help with the feels a little bit, right?
Yeah. So if you like that, so if you want alternate receiving yards, if you go 100 plus, okay, for I don't know about Juwan Jennings, but Trey McBride's plus 300 and Marvin Harrison Jr.'s plus 425. So if you think that they're going to push for that big game, that might be fun to do. And even Harrison, so you can ladder that up. Harrison's basic over under is 56.5, but plus, you know, 75 plus is plus 185, and 100 plus is plus 425. Now he is 177 yards away from 1,000. So that'd be a monster game. So if you want to go that, you can't even get 125 plus. You can get Trey McBride at plus 700 at 125 plus, but
And it's just like, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Jess thinks it's going to happen. But it's one of those things just to watch. Like, and so yeah, his over 4.5 is plus money in terms of total receptions. So if you think it's going to be a concerted effort, like, hey, we're going to try to get him the ball a little more consistently early in the game or in the flow of the game, that's one of those ones you go, okay, I'm going to take note of that, and I'm gonna see if I can – see if I can get, you know, catch them sleeping. So you take him at over 4.5, then maybe you take him at 7 receptions. Again, there's no alt receptions right now, but if he's plus 138, I'm going to guess 7 reception plus is going to be between plus 250 and plus 300. Like, you're in a really nice territory to make a little bit of money.
On rushing props, I like Michael Carter at 56.5 over that, minus 115, and then ladder that to 75 plus. Not all the way to 100 plus, I don't think, although you can make him. So you get plus 130 at 75 plus for alternate rushing yards. And if you want to play all the easy prop will be Jobs over 26.5, and that's minus 110.
I like that one as well.
He will run. He will run.
Yeah, I don't have any. It's wild that there are literally no props for the 49ers. Like, not one. As of, again, 1:58 p.m., there's not a single prop for the 49ers on FanDuel, which tells me that they're not overly enthused about this game. As people that are setting betting lines, they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with this.
Kyler Murray over 1.5 touchdown passes plus 105 and a layup over half an interception for Josh Dobbs at minus 120. That's a layup. I think that happens for sure.
Yeah, that, you know, we talked about it. He loves to throw interceptions, fire on that one. They usually don't do alt interceptions, but yeah, I like that one. I think that Kyler goes for 2 or 3 touchdowns of this one. So I would take his over. And then if you can get 3+, why not throw a couple nickels on that as well?
It wouldn't hurt. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We'll figure out what we're going to do in the offseason. We'll definitely talk next week about the game, and then we'll kind of start setting a schedule, because we'll still give you offseason content. We've got the playoffs coming up, so we'll talk about them. We'll give you our best bets for the playoff games coming up, because, hey, who doesn't like to win a little money while watching other teams play as well? Now that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rue. This is the Rise of Sierra podcast. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.
Whoa!